Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, look, there's a bear with her cub right up there. Can't you see it? Look. Those are the words spoken by me about a year and a half ago in our car as we were traveling around in Yellowstone. We were going up the Eastern Loop, up a windy, narrowing road that went up past a mountain pass, and sure enough, up high, there was a bear and her cub. It was exciting. It was a moment of excitement and actually chaos. Now, to the left of the road was that mountain that went probably 1,500 feet high, a big incline. But down below on the other side of the road was a decline down into a valley. And there we were, right there in that road. The bear was up high on that mountain, and the other motorists around us were stopping. They were pointing, and they were saying, talking to each other about that bear that was up on the mountain. Now, what I must tell you is that just because one person sees a bear, just because one of us saw the bear, and there were the words shouted out, look, didn't mean that everyone in the car actually saw the bear. In fact, I was the only one that saw the bear and her cub. Alicia was in the passenger seat. Her focus was on the traffic all around. She was asking me to pay attention to the road. Miles in the back seat, he was asleep. He didn't care to see a grizzly bear. He was 3 or 4 months old. He just wanted to sleep. The girls right next to Miles in the back seat, they were looking down that decline and wondering if our car was going to go off as the driver was staring up on the mountain. See, in that situation, what an amazing moment it was to see a grizzly bear in real life. But only 20% of those people in that car actually saw that bear. Now here we are in our Advent series at Peace. We're focusing in on three words: stop, look, listen. Now last week we talked about that first word, which was to stop. We opened up Isaiah chapter 1. Cease your evil ways, learn to do good, Isaiah said. Now today we're taking a look at that word, look. Look. And it was there in that gospel passage in which Aaron read just a little bit ago, John the Baptist said the words. You might remember them a little differently. Look, or some translations say, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, what John the Baptist was pointing to was more exciting than seeing a grizzly bear, actually. The Lamb of God was what he was pointing to. Now, what did that mean in that moment? Lambs are mentioned in the Old Testament scripture quite often. In fact, if you look it up, they're mentioned about 100 times in the Old Testament. And about 90% of those references refer to lambs as a part of the sacrificial system. This is what would happen. A person would go down to the marketplace. They would purchase an unblemished lamb. They would then take that lamb and walk to the temple. They would see the priest. The priest would offer the sacrifice, and the person would walk away feeling guilt-free and feeling great until the next year came. And they had to do the same thing all over again. Go to the marketplace, purchase the lamb, take it to the temple, see the priest, have a nice exchange with the priest, have the sacrifice, and walk away feeling guilt-free until the next year came. You see where I'm going with this. Now, when John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, what John was saying is that no longer would people have to go through that routine and then live full of guilt the rest of the year as they sinned. What John was saying in that moment was that Jesus was the Lamb that could take away the sin for all time, for all people, for all sorts of sins. Wow. what a great moment. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But remember what I said in my story? Just because one person sees an exciting thing doesn't mean that everyone else necessarily sees it as well. Now, the unfortunate news is that not everyone saw Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How do we know that? Well, as we open up the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, chapter 1 tells us how many Christians there were living in the city of Jerusalem right after Jesus died. It actually gives a number, 120. 120. Now, the moment of John chapter 1, we believe, happened 3 years before Acts chapter 1. Then there were 3 years. That's all who really saw Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Bible tells us that many people were going out to see John the Baptist, yet only 120. Then there were 5,000 people who saw Jesus perform the feeding of those individuals with bread and with the loaves and with the fish. Then there were those people who were there in the packed house in which Jesus rose the paralytic from his mat. Only 120 right after Jesus' death? The sad reality of it is that most people, you see, just continued their rhythm and routine, going to the marketplace, buying a lamb, going to the priest, having a sacrifice, walking away, feeling guilt-free. You know, in AD 70, we know from a Jewish historian, Josephus, that even in 70 AD, there were just a handful of Christians. He barely references them in his history of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So why did everyone miss seeing Jesus? Well, lots of reasons. Perhaps they were so filled with the weight of their own sin. You see, those people, they had sinned, they had disobeyed, they had made mistakes. Perhaps they thought, there's no way that this one person could really take away the sins of the world. Or maybe they didn't look to Jesus for their hope. Maybe they placed their hope in other things. You know, I think we can relate to that, that we oftentimes fail to see Jesus as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world because we place our hope in other things. See, Christianity is not just about hope. It's about having hope in the right thing, in the right place, in the right object, Jesus. This last week, we watched the Harry Potter, one of the very early Harry Potter movies with one of our kids, with both kids, Kai and Claire. And there was something in the movie that got me thinking, a very unusual object. It was a mirror. Maybe if you've seen the series, you know what I'm talking about. It was a mirror called Erised. That is a desire spelled backwards. This mirror did a very unusual thing. Instead of showing the object or the person that was looking into the mirror, this mirror called Arise did something very different. When a person stepped in front of the mirror, it reflected their most deepest desire, the deepest hope that they had in life. And so when Harry Potter's best friend comes into the mirror, Ron, the mirror shows back Ron as the best athlete in the school and as the most popular person with all his peers. Again, the mirror didn't show who Ron really was. It showed what he really wanted, where he was placing his hope. Now, I want you to imagine that you stood in front of the mirror Erised. What would it show? What would it show for you? What would it show being your greatest hope in life? Would it be having great health? Would it be being very popular? Would it be being famous? Would it be being seen as well-to-do in life? Well, the reality of it is if Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God and our greatest hope in life, what would be seen when we stepped into a mirror like that would be Jesus. That the mirror would show us with Jesus right next to us. My friends, what's so important in Christianity is not so much how we see ourselves or how we want to see ourselves. What matters much more is how God sees us. God saw his son Jesus as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. In other words, when God looks at you, he doesn't focus on and dwell on your sins. And there are many. There are those sins that you've committed that you probably are holding that are very weighty and hard to walk forward in life with. There are those sins that you don't want to bring up to God, but God knows about. There are those sins that you don't know about and God knows. But God doesn't view you just simply by your sins and mistakes. Otherwise, if he did that, he would think of Paul as nothing more than a persecutor. He'd think of Peter as nothing more than a denier and kind of a wishy-washy disciple. He'd think of Mary Magdalene as fairly unstable and not really doing well in life. God also doesn't view us by what our potential is either, or what our hopes are for the future, that we would be well-to-do or wealthy or well-known. No, God sees us as we are, plus Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God sees us plus Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, he sees his perfection. That Jesus lived a perfect life according to the Ten Commandments and according to the law. He sees Jesus' perfection, that he did obey the authorities, that he did love his parents, that he did take care of those who were around him, and he did love his neighbor, and that he gave his heart and soul to God the Father. God sees the perfection of Jesus, and then he applies it to you. God sees you as you are, plus Jesus. It's a misnomer that God accepts you as you are. That's only partial truth. God accepts you as you are plus Jesus. And John the Baptist, if there's anyone in the Bible who could stand up and say, I'm holy and righteous, it would be John the Baptist. He lived a clean life. He preached powerful sermons about repentance of sins. He didn't become entwined with all the world's trappings. Yet even John the Baptist says Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. John knew that he needed to be seen as he was, but plus Jesus. And that's God's promise to you. In the waters of baptism, you were given Jesus' name. God looks at you as you are, but he also sees you with Jesus and applies his perfection to you and your life. My friends, this teaching has an ability to transform your life, actually. And also an ability to transform how you view others around you. Because it's important not just to see people as they are, but to see them as they are plus Jesus. Is there a fellow Christian that you argue with all the time and you have a hard time just getting along with them? With this teaching, you can see them, but add Jesus to the mix. Is there someone that you disagree with that's a Christian? Don't just see them. See them, but add Jesus. Is there someone that God has given to you that you're living with in this time of pandemic that you're just pulling your hair out? It's a challenge. Don't just see them. Understand that it's that person plus Jesus. Imagine looking at them if they were to step in a mirror. It would be them and Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right next to them as well. As we move forward, let us look and see. In that moment on the mountain, only 20% of those people in our car saw the amazing moment of seeing a grizzly bear. Our hope at Peace Lutheran Church is that as we hear this news, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that 100% of our congregation sees it, enjoys it, celebrates the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.